Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the living Word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who guides us into all the truth, takes your Word and declares it to us. So thank you, Holy Spirit, you would take the word and declare it to us this morning. And that as we hear your word, faith will rise up within our hearts to understand your plans and purposes for us more fully and to enable us in the power of your Spirit to put your word into operation for the praise, honor, and glory of your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you may be seated. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I've just returned from a very powerful conference for several days in Sweden, and the saints there send their greetings here. It was a really, really strategic time, so we praise God for that. We're going to read from Ephesians 1, chapter, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, those of you who are part of the church family here know that we emphasize very strongly the truth that we read of in the New Testament, that God has taken hold of our lives and put us into Christ. This is key revelation in the New Testament. There are 153 verses that speak about our life in Christ. And if you've never read it, you need to get hold of my book, In Christ Jesus, which takes you through all those scriptures and shows you what God has done and what he has made you because you are in him. Now, these verses are crucial for us to understand when a person is placed in Christ. Going to church doesn't place you in Christ. Being born into a Christian family doesn't place you in Christ. Paul makes it very clear that what you do is, first of all, hear the word of truth. You hear the gospel. You hear the good news of all that Jesus has done for us. And having heard the word, you believe it. Just hearing the word doesn't place you in Christ, but believing what you hear, believing the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came and gave his life as a sacrifice on the cross on our behalf, that we might be forgiven our sins and made one with him. We can only live in Christ once all our sins are forgiven and we are made guiltless, blameless in the sight of God. You can't have people full of sin living in Christ. So Paul is making it very clear that before anybody can be included in Christ, they have to be cleansed of all their sins. Jesus, of course, was saying the same thing right at the beginning of his ministry, putting it in a different way. The first thing we have recorded of what he said was, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news. When you repent, you turn to God, you ask Him to forgive all your sins, and He does, but you also turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. He becomes your Lord as well as your Savior. And at that moment, you can be included in Christ because you surrender your life to Him. That's why even a child born into a good Christian home has got to come to the point where he or she asks and knows God's forgiveness, but also surrenders their life to Jesus. So in our children's groups, the children are encouraged to do this. Of course, that surrender is something that has to take place periodically in a child's life, because a 3-year-old child is different from a 7-year-old child, who is different from a 10-year-old child, who is different from a 13-year-old child, who is different from a 17-year-old child. And there's a sense in which as children grow up and develop, so they go through a series, really, of times when they surrender to the Lord in a more meaningful way. And we as parents need to be sensitive to that and realize that God wants to do that ongoing work in them and, of course, in us. That our surrender to Jesus is not something we do just at the beginning of our Christian experience, but something that we continually do. We keep doing. We keep surrendering ourselves to Him, placing ourselves under His lordship, under His authority, so that His life and His power can really be revealed in our lives day by day. Jesus says, the measure you give is the measure you get back. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Because God always gives us far more back than we give to Him. But we keep giving to Him. The measure you give is the measure you get back. You reap what you sow. So we keep surrendering our lives to Jesus, and He keeps pouring out His grace, His life, His Spirit upon us. Now, this is a simple illustration that many of you will have seen me use before, but if an illustration works, it's worth working it again. Assume that this book is Jesus. Now, Paul says in that scripture we just read, you also were included in Christ. Now, take this card to represent you. When you heard the gospel and believed, therefore you came to Him with repentance, the forgiveness of your sins, so He becomes your Savior, surrendering your life to Him as your Lord, He placed you in Christ. So there you are in Christ. And wherever the book goes, the card goes. Wherever the card goes, the book goes. The two are now united. They have become one. Now, the card hasn't become part of the book. It's not a page in the book. But it's in the book. And we don't become part of Jesus in the sense that Jesus is the sum total of all believers. No, Jesus is who He is, whole and complete in Himself. But we, as believers, have been put into Christ. Now, you know this well. So here is another believer who is also put into Christ. Now, that second person may belong to the same church as you do. They may belong to a completely different church. They may even belong to a church where you don't agree with all the doctrine. that is believed and taught in that church. But if that person has believed the gospel and has been born again, and so has received the Holy Spirit, because what we read in that scripture is that having believed, we were marked in him with the seal. God put his seal upon our lives, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So if there's somebody of a different theological persuasion who nevertheless has been born again and received the Holy Spirit, you are one with them as much as you are one with Christ. You see, we start from a place of unity. So much nonsense is talked about disunity, how somehow we've got to become one. No, 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 no. Right at the very beginning, when God put you into Christ, he made you one with every other believer who is in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that he made you one with every churchgoer, because as I said earlier, you can go to church and not be in Christ. You can go to church and not be born again and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But for all those who have been born again, who have received the Holy Spirit and have been incorporated into Christ, you are one with them. And therefore, we need to pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's an instruction in the New Testament that we are to pray for all the saints, for all the believers. I pray every day for you because I pray every day for all the believers, all my brothers and sisters in Christ, whoever they may be, throughout the world. Because all of them have been incorporated into Christ, so I am one with them just as much as I'm one with Christ. Now, of course, it's unrealistic to say I can work out my unity with every believer around the world. I can pray for them and acknowledge my unity with them by praying for them, but I can't be in relationship with them. As I move around the world, have moved around the world for these last 40, 50 years ministering the gospel, I have been at one with people in all the nations where I have preached the gospel. I've been one with the brethren there. And I've preached in well over 40 different nations around the world. So that's a great variety of people. And I've ministered in just about every conceivable, well, no, not every denomination, because there's so many odd ones around the place, but all the major denominations. You know, I've preached at their conferences and so on and so on. And you see, I am one with those believers in Christ. I may not always believe with all their doctrine, and they probably don't believe in all my doctrine, but nevertheless, the basis of our faith is the same, that we hear the gospel, the word of our salvation. Having believed, we are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. That's the guarantee that you are now a child of God, you are living in Christ, you belong to him, and will continue to belong to him for all eternity, and somebody needs to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then, of course, we've got this little fella. Not as big as the other cards. This represents a child who nevertheless has heard the gospel, has believed, has asked Jesus to forgive his or her sins, has given his or her life to Jesus, has been born again, and has received the Holy Spirit, so he or she is in Christ just as much as you are. And that person is no longer a little child. That person is your brother and your sister in Christ. So all the children in this church who have come to that place of faith, and we know in all the groups they're led to that place, But all who have come to that place are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not just the kids. Amen? So we are going to have communion together, not just in our families, but as the family. As the family of God that He has brought together in this place, all those who are in Christ. Now, those who should actually receive communion are all those who are in Christ. So if you know your children have come to that place of faith, share the communion with them. The common practice is if children are too small and haven't yet come to that place, give them a little piece of the bread, but not the cup. So just to include them in the whole fellowship of what we're doing, but understanding that communion is for those who believe that what is happening is they are receiving the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the virtue of His body, and the blood of Jesus and all the virtue of His blood. And I know the children have been taught about Holy Communion in recent times. So they will have some knowledge of what they're doing when we come together. And of course, let me just clarify that at the end of the word, we will pray, but then the musicians will come forward, and that's when those of you who need to go and collect the tiny ones can do so. And of course, they will be sensitive, won't they, in singing songs that incorporate the children. You see, what I learned as I brought up children is you never expect the children to join in with where you are. You join in with where they are. Because otherwise they can't identify with us in what we're doing. We have to identify with them in what they're doing. So we'll sing songs like Freedom, which they know and can enjoy, and they can shout and they can stamp and twirl and twist and things like that. And I know the band are listening to me and registering what I'm saying, so that when it comes to the worship, we will sing songs that the children can identify with. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. I haven't had a chance to talk to them beforehand, you see. And it's always said with much more authority from the pulpit, isn't it? So, we are one. Now, what we want to focus on just for a few minutes this morning is what it really means to be the family of God. We use this word fellowship. And fellowship means the sharing of life. Fellowship isn't having a cup of coffee and a chat. It's much, much more than that. You see, what happens when a person becomes a believer is they are put into Christ, as we've just heard, and they're made a part of His body. And the fellowship is the whole of the body working together in unity. So, in the earliest days of the church, after the Spirit of God had come first upon 120, and then upon the 3,000 that were saved, and then there were 5,000, this was the newly emerging church that had to discover how to be church. Because the church as such didn't exist while Jesus was on earth. He had His human body while He was on earth, but His human body present amongst us was replaced by the body of Christ, the body of believers. Remember, even His disciples were not filled with the Spirit until Jesus had returned to heaven. And He told them to wait until the power from on high came upon them before they actually began to go out and evangelize and fulfill their ministry and their calling. So it says in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 42, that they devoted themselves to four things. They devoted themselves, this emerging church, to the apostles' teaching. Now, that means they devoted themselves to the Word of God. Of course, you have to understand that at that point, the New Testament hadn't been written. And every time in the New Testament you see the word Scriptures, it always refers to the Old Testament. Because those were the Scriptures from which the early church was preaching, together with the fresh revelation that had come through Jesus himself. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to what Jesus had taught them that they were then teaching the people. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, when you devote yourself, you give yourself entirely over to something. So they gave themselves over entirely to being taught the Word of God that Jesus had taught the apostles. They gave themselves over entirely to sharing their lives together. And it actually says in Acts that they met together every day. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. So in other words, they actually, if you read it carefully, you understand that they came together every day, they shared fellowship every day, they broke bread together every day, and then they devoted themselves to the prayer. Not just to prayer, but to praying together. So you can see that right from the beginning, the whole emphasis in the church is not just on individual faith and certainly not having any independent attitudes, but are doing everything together. Learning, sitting at the feet of the apostles to learn the Word of God. Coming together to share their lives. Coming together to break bread and to give thanks to God for all that he had accomplished for them through the cross and the resurrection. Devoting themselves to praying together. And if we want to see the Spirit of God moving in our lives in the way that I believe God intends and we would wish for, then we need to devote ourselves to these four things in the same way. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't changed, the purpose of God hasn't changed, the Word of God hasn't changed. The sad thing is that in these days, so many churches are drifting away from the Word of God and don't really understand what it means to have fellowship. So we're going to express something of our fellowship by having the whole family together as we devote ourselves also to the breaking of bread, to giving thanks to God for all that he has accomplished and receiving all the virtue that is in his body and in his blood. Not just individually, but in the families. Now, I'm very, very sensitive as I'm speaking to you now that as soon as we start to use this word families, a whole lot of people feel excluded. And you have to be very, very careful about this in the body of Christ. Because there are some of you here, mother, father, children. But there are many people who are not married, others who do not have families or do not have families here. So in talking about doing things as families can be very misleading. What we should say is we're doing things as the family. Not in families, but as the family, which includes everybody. When I was pastor of a church where we had that wonderful move of the Spirit in the 1970s, we made sure that the whole, everybody belonged. Even the single people actually belonged to one of the families and would have a meal with them on Sundays. Nobody would be sort of left alone and left outside of a family context. But we didn't believe, you see, that family was just mum, dad, and kids. We were the family. And we would even include the housebound people, those that were sick, those that couldn't physically be with us on a Sunday. And we had a way of discovering everybody in our parish that was housebound and building relationships with them. And the children, on the way back from school, would call in on these folk to see, do you need any shopping? Is there any help you can... So even the children, you see, were serving these elderly people and these housebound people. It was a whole family functioning together. Now, it's a little bit more difficult in our situation because we're dispersed so widely. When this was an Anglican church, and of course, in the parish, everybody was living in close proximity to one another. So this is a different situation. But the principle is the same, that what we want is to be operating as one family, devoted to one another. Now, as we look at the scriptures in the New Testament, they say some very interesting things about the church. One of the phrases that Paul uses is that we belong to one another. Now, I want you to understand that when you are placed in Christ, that means you belong to Christ. But you see, because you're placed in Christ together with others who are placed in Christ, you belong to them just as much as you belong to Christ. And they belong to you just as much as they belong to Christ. Are you breathing still? We belong to one another, the scripture says. Now, of course, we've got to be practical and realistic. You can't belong in that sense to every believer all over the world. But God brings people together into congregations. The church is a gathering. It's an assembling of God's people. So he gathers people into groups. They have all kinds of different names, but he gathers them together. And in those gatherings, all those people belong to one another. This is why it's a nonsense for people to go church hopping from one church to another church, because they never belong. And that is totally against the purpose of God. He wants to build lives together, to integrate together, so that everybody together in that assembling of God's people, they can all devote themselves to the plan and the purpose of God. Because, you see, that plan cannot be fulfilled by individuals, it can only be fulfilled by those individuals working together as the body. It's the body of Christ that fulfills the will of God. So we, as one of those assembling together of different people who are in Christ, we together will fulfill the purpose of God. Individually, we can't. God has a purpose for your life as he has a purpose for my life. But he can't fulfill his purpose for my life independent of the body. This is why if you have a person with an itinerant ministry like I've had, you know, I would never invite them to come and speak unless they were built into a body somewhere. Just to have somebody floating around speaking but not himself being or herself being devoted to a body is actually a biblical nonsense. Because we actually minister out of the context in which we are working out the principles of the gospel together. Can we see that? So, individually, we all have our faith. Individually, we all have our relationship with God. Individually, we all have the call of God and the purpose of God for us as individuals. God always has his plan, those good things that he has prepared for you to walk in. But he has prepared those good things within the context of the body to which you belong. Amen? So a lot of those plans and purposes he has are for the way in which you relate and serve and love and bless and encourage and build up the other members of that assembling of God's people to which you belong here in Kingdom Faith. So, you know, people talk about my church, when they're talking about, their spiritual lives, I'm going to my church. It's a bit of a nonsense, really, because we know it's his church. But it's our church in the sense that we are part of that assembling that God has brought together. But it would be rather more accurate to say, I'm going to our church. Because it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him, but it belongs also to all those who are part of it, all the members that are part of that body, all who are part of that assembling. Do we have any believers here? Yes. Okay. So this is why it's so important that we come together on a Sunday. Going to church isn't what makes us the believers that we are, but the whole body needs to assemble so that we hear the word of God, the apostles' teaching, that has been passed down to us through the scriptures. We are gathered together in faith around the word of God, that we share our lives together. So on one level, we can do that on a Sunday. At another level, we do it in our small groups. Because you as a member don't know everybody else. I, as a member of this body, I don't know all of you personally. I couldn't name you all. You could probably name me, but I wouldn't be able to name all of you. But I still belong to you, just as I belong to all those that I could name. We are all part of the one body of Christ in this place. So it's important that we come together, but it's important that in the small groups you have a more meaningful level of fellowship with the other people in those groups. That's why it's important for everybody in the church to be part of a group, a ministry group, a relating group, prayer group, or whatever. It's important that when we have our victory in prayer meetings and our other encounter evenings and so on, that we all come together as the body, because God wants to do something in his church, in the assembling of his people. And if you absent yourself from something that is intended for the whole body is incomplete at that moment. And therefore, God can't do the complete work that he wants to do. It's not a question of, oh, I've got to go to the prayer meeting tonight. It's a question of understanding the will and the purpose of God, of what he has made you a part of, and that actually the more you devote yourself to being what he wants you to be in the body, the more you will prosper spiritually. God will bless you abundantly through your faithfulness. And you see, this is the point. You've heard me say before that I think the thing that God values more than anything else in the lives of his children is faithfulness. I could preach a whole sermon on that, but there isn't time now, about how Jesus proved faithful to the Father in everything during his ministry. He fulfilled faithfully what the Father sent him to do, even to the point of going to the cross. So it's for us to fulfill faithfully what God asks of us, not just as individuals in our personal walk with him, because we're not individual churches. No, there's no such thing as an independent Christian. That is a total, total nonsense. You can't be a Christian and be independent, because as soon as you're a Christian, you're in Christ, and you're not independent of him, but you're in Christ together with all the others who are in Christ. And so you shouldn't be living in independence of them either. So God has made us one, and the more we express that unity, the more the purposes of God can be fulfilled, not only in the church, but in our lives individually. Now, of course, Jesus made this, all this, really clear. at the time when he instituted Holy Communion. If you remember, this happened at the Last Supper, and Jesus was talking about the new covenant, the new way in which people would be able to relate to God, not under the old covenant, but under the new covenant that was to be sealed or ratified with the shedding of his blood. This is my blood of the new covenant. And all covenants, and there are several in the Old Testament, all covenants are focused around a command of God together with his promises. In other words, what God says is, I give you this command or series of commands, and if you obey those commands, then I promise to do this, 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 and this. So in ratifying the new covenant with the shedding of his blood, Jesus had to give a new promise, a new command. And his and the promise, of course, goes with the command. But the command first. The new commandment is what? To love one another as I have loved you. Now, you see, this isn't a command about loving your neighbor. Jesus reaffirmed the former commands of the former covenant. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. That was part of the old covenant, right? He reaffirms that because he doesn't replace the old covenant with the new. He adds to the old covenant. So that command to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, that still exists as part of the new covenant. And then the second command that was like it, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. That still exists. But to that, God added the new command that is specific for the assembling of all these people that he puts into Christ. And the new command, you know well, you are to love one another as I have loved you. So you still love God, you still love your neighbor, but there's something unique that has to take place between all those who are in Christ. They have to love one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us. So it's not just sort of feeling friendly towards one another or giving a few people a charismatic hug and saying, God bless you. It's the sharing of our life together. Therefore, the sharing of our anointings together, so that together we can be the body of Christ and fulfill the purpose that he has for the body. Is everybody still breathing? Now, when God gives a command, he expects that to be fulfilled by all his children. So if you belong to Christ, if you are living in him, if you have been born again, if you have been saved, if you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, God expects of you that you will love the others who are part of that same assembling of his children as he has loved you. So that's what he's expecting of us. Therefore, when you receive the Holy Spirit, as Paul says, God poured his love into your heart. His love. Because if we're to love one another as he has loved us, then we've got to love one another with his love. We can't do that with our human love. So God, by the Holy Spirit, gave us his love, put his love in us, said, now you can love one another with my own love. That has to be worked out. We can work it out at one level when we all assemble together as we do on a Sunday morning. We can work it out at another level in our groups. We work it out in another level in building the kind of spiritual relationships, prayer relationships that we might have with two or three or four people, a close, special relationship where we can actually share whatever is going on in our lives and know that we will receive love and acceptance and understanding and, where necessary, forgiveness. We will never be judged. We will never be condemned, because we can have that freedom, because we know that those people love us and with the love of Jesus, and we love them. See, this is the body of Christ functioning. And if you look at Jesus, he had this whole variety of relationships. He had the relationship with the multitude, obviously, but that couldn't be a close one-to-one relationship. He had a relationship with the 72 disciples that he sent out. He had a much closer relationship with the 12, and also with the women that supported them, Mary and Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, and so on. But even within the 12, he had a closer relationship with three of them, Peter, James, and John. And then even within the three, he had a very special and particular relationship with John, which is why we have all the information about Jesus that we have in his gospel. So Jesus had this whole variety of relationships. And if we are to love one another in the same way that he loved us, then we will have this variety of relationships. We will have to have a love for everybody here. And you see, you love everybody here by being here when you're supposed to be. So the whole body can function together. So that you're there at the prayer meetings, you're there at the encounter meetings, you're there whenever. Because you're part of the body. You have a responsibility to the rest of the body to function effectively. You're there within your groups. You don't just sort of go when you don't have anything better to do. This is the best thing that you've got to do. And so there you are, sharing your love at a deeper level. Then you see you've got whatever other relationships begin to build up. Someone that may be discipling you and speaking into your life, or those people that you have a close prayer relationship with. You have a whole variety of relationships. This is loving as Jesus has loved us. It's not just saying, well, we've got a kind of love within us that we ought to express, which is different from the love that is in the world. That is true, but how do we express it? We express it in all these different ways, just as Jesus did. So, of course, you can only build those kind of relationships over a period of time. And you can't build them just by coming on a Sunday morning, as important as that is, because the whole body needs to be together to worship the Lord, to sit at his feet, to hear his word. You see, this is a word for the whole body. And it's good that it's recorded, so if anybody's away with half term or whatever, they can still hear. They can still download it and hear, because they're part of the body. It's important for them to do that. And if ever you're missing for any reason, it's important that you download the message, because you don't want to miss anything that's for the body, because you're part of the body. And you're a significant part of the body. You see, when Jesus calls and chooses people and puts them within the body, nobody is insignificant. Everybody matters. Everybody is important. So you matter. And you are important to him, not just to the rest of the body, but to him. But we don't come together out of duty, you see, because Jesus said, you are to love one another as I have loved you. And then he said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. It's out of love for him. We're together out of love for him. Amen. And sometimes that's costly, because there's other things that in your soul life you would prefer to be doing. But that's where we have to deny ourselves and say, okay, where does God want me to be? I found when I was a young believer, learning to put all this stuff into operation, If I knew there was a church activity at which I should really be present, I would ask myself, Colin, what are you doing instead? Now, instead of being where God wants you to be, if you do that instead, are you pleasing God? Are you loving Him? Are you expressing your love for Him? Or are you expressing your love for yourself? Anybody understand what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, I had to make a decision more out of duty than out of love. And then God sort of taught me, well, you're not here out of duty, you're here out of love. So rejoice to be here. Now, as I was traveling the world, I had to be away from home a lot, especially when our kids were young and they were growing up. And that was a cost, you know. Because you want to spend time with your family, especially when they're young. And I can remember I'd been away a lot, and I was just starting a new tour in South Africa. And I just said goodbye to the children. Clive's first words that he ever uttered, you know, you always listen to your first words, your children say. You know, the first words he ever uttered were, bye-bye, Dada. And I had to get on a plane after that. But, you know, the Lord said, if you are faithful to me, I'll look after your kids. And they've turned out all right. Hallelujah. But I can remember, there in South Africa, I'd left them behind, my wife and my children. And, you know, it was hard. And God said to me, get on your knees. And stay on your knees till you are pleased to be away from your family and pleased to be here where I am wanting you to be at this time. You have to be pleased to be away from them. And I stayed on my knees and I waited for God to bring me to that place. But ever since that day, I've never suffered from homesickness. But I've always been able to rejoice to be where God wants me to be. But you see, that's a principle. Sometimes you don't always want to be in that place, in the natural. But when you rejoice to be where God wants you to be, then He does stuff in you. Because Jesus said, if anyone is going to come follow me, he's going to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. So, you know, people can join all kinds of clubs and institutions. But the only one that honors God is the body of Christ. And you didn't join the body of Christ. He put you into it. As soon as you were born again. Nobody joins. God puts you in. And He says, now you're part of my body. Now you love all the other parts of the body like I love you. Now you stay there, devoted to one another in love, because I've got my plan and purpose for you to bless you, and I will prosper you. See, I've hardly got time now because the kids will be in a minute. All the promises that go with the command to love one another. What does Jesus say? He will answer our prayers. He will bless us. He will prosper us. I can't quote all the scriptures. There isn't time. But all these wonderful promises, all the promises of how He will prosper us and provide for us and we will live in His abundance, all come out of this new covenant command to love one another as I have loved you. So praise God. We're a funny bunch. Oh, we are. I mean, you look around you and you think, well, I wouldn't necessarily choose to be in the same body as him or her. I wonder how she got in, or were the angels asleep when he got in? I mean, you know, you can, but The eyes are the light of the body. So we should say, thank you, Jesus. You believe in variety. And if you didn't believe in variety, I wouldn't be here. Amen? And if you weren't a God of mercy, I wouldn't be here. And if it wasn't for your grace, I wouldn't be here. So I thank you, Lord, for the variety of people that you bring together and make them one. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's have the band up. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So the children will be coming in to join us as we worship. We're going to spend a little time worshiping before we break bread together as the family. Amen. Nobody is excluded from the family. If you're here without children, you're still just as much family as everybody else. We are one family of God. So come on, let's lift our hands and just thank the Lord. We're told to give thanks in all circumstances. And this is the circumstance that you're in. You're gathered together with all your brothers and sisters in Christ in this assembling of his people, this aspect of his body to which you belong. So just begin to praise him. Thank you, Lord, that I belong to you, that I live in you, that when I first believed, you took hold of my life and put me into Christ. And thank you, Lord, you put me into Christ with every other believer around the world who is in Christ. Even those, Lord, perhaps I wouldn't agree with or understand. But thank you, Lord, if they're in Christ, they're my brothers, they're my sisters. We are one in Christ Jesus. And I bless your holy name. But I thank you, Lord, that you have brought me together in this particular assembling of your people so that I belong to you here among this people. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that we belong to one another. So thank you, Lord. I don't belong to a church as an institution. I belong to this body of people. I'm part of this body of people. Thank you, Lord, that I am a significant person here because every part of the body is significant. Thank you that you've got your plan and purpose for my life within the context of the body. Come on, I can't hear very much. I want to hear people thanking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray in the Spirit. So all the youth and all the children, come in now and come and join us because we're going to praise the God as one family. Hallelujah. Come on, let's have a shout of praise for Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. You folk who've just come in standing at the back, come up the front here because we're going to sing Freedom. And you young people, you need to show the older ones what freedom is all about. So come on, let's really let ourselves go and say freedom. Yes! As the body of Christ. Amen. We are free. Let's go.
I want to clap a little louder than before. Sing a little louder than before. I want to jump higher than before. I gotta shout louder. Talking about freedom. 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 Can't talk about freedom. sing louder than before. I want to spin wilder than before. I got to shout louder. Higher than before. Yeah. I want to love you more than before. Oh, oh. I want to worship deeper than before. I gotta scream loud. We'll be right back.
Praise God. So we've been joined by our younger brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So we are all one body. The body is complete. Pastor Clive and Jane, they are with the church up in London this morning. But in spirit, they're here with us. Amen. All united. So now we're going to break bread together, because it's through what Jesus did on the cross that we have freedom. Hallelujah. So, Jesus commanded us to do these things, to do what he did. So we take bread to represent his body. And we break that bread as he did. And we repeat the words he said. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we take this cup to represent his blood and repeat his words. This is my blood of the new covenant that is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. And I think we need three shouts of hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 We'll do that again, because I said three shouts. Are you ready? Hallelujah! 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 Praise you, Jesus. Now, this morning, there are tables, some tables up the front, some at the back. And what we want you to do is to go as the family to one of these points to receive communion. You adults have heard what I've said about the children, so just be sensitive about helping them, but share these gifts with all those who are in Christ, who believe, who have given their lives to Jesus. Just include the little ones with a piece of the bread, because we're one body. Isn't it good to look at the body? See, these little ones, even the ones that don't yet know Jesus personally, they're still part of the body, because the children are sanctified by the believing parents. So they're still part of the body. Amen. And it's great to see the body together. And the body celebrating Jesus together. Are we ready? Okay, the band will be playing and singing something a little bit more sensitive than freedom while we receive. So just go to one of the receiving points, either at the back or at the front here. Take a piece of bread. Perhaps the Father in the family is within the family. The fathers take the bread and share it with each of the members, his wife and the children. But everybody's part of the family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I cast my crown before you. You are my Lord. You are my King. I lay my life before. Cast my crown before you. before you. I cast my crown before you. You are my Lord. You are.
Let's just, before we close, pray for the whole family of Kingdom Faith. Not only the congregation here in Horsham, but our brothers and sisters in Crawley and in Worthing, in London and Taunton and Scarborough, all our brothers and sisters there, all part of our family, all the churches that relate to us, all our missionaries overseas. All the hundreds of partners that support Kingdom Faith. All those that feed off our teaching and the webcasts. Let's pray for all of them, because actually that's our extended family. This is your family. That's the extended family. So, Father, we pray for the extended family of Kingdom Faith, for the thousands of people who one way or another are part of this family that you have built up over the years. We pray for them, Lord. We thank you for each one of them, for all the thousands that have been included in Christ, because through this ministry, through this church, they have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and having believed, they have received the mark of your Holy Spirit and become incorporated into your body. So we pray for all of them. Bless them, prosper them, use them for your glory. May there be a real sense of love for one another within the whole family of Kingdom Faith. We affirm them, Lord, every one of them. We pray for any that are going through troubling times at this period. We thank you that you're with them, that you never leave them or forsake them. Thank you, Lord, that you will lift them up and carry them through whatever trials they're having to face. We pray for all the leadership, Lord, of the various congregations. We thank you, Lord, for fresh oil, fresh anointing poured out upon them. But Lord, this morning we just want to thank you. It's so wonderful to have this sense of family amongst us here at this time. So we thank you for one another. Even those we don't know, Lord, we thank you. And we give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's have one rouser to finish with. Praise God.
How great the name of Jesus. How great the name of Jesus.
Amen. What a way to finish together as a family. Amen. Be blessed. Have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.